we come, bowing down before your throne. We know that we could never repay all we owe, but you said that we could come before you as we are, as we are.
This is a recorded presentation of the Heart to Heart Bible Study titled, I Know Whom I Have Believed, a chapter-by-chapter, verse-by-verse study through 1 and 2 Timothy. More information about this study is available on our website at www.refugefamily.com/womensministry.
There's no one. We provided if you wanted to be out on the courtyard or didn't want to be in here, that you could be out there, but nobody's out there. Everybody's in here because this is so exciting. Rocky, I talked to Rocky. Most of you guys know Rocky. And she said, I know the first thing that you're going to say when you get up there, you're going to say, I'm so excited. And I am so excited. And that is what I'm going to say, because I am excited over what God is doing and what God has for us. And I'm excited to be back in this room. I'm excited to be back together. It's not so much to be back in this room, but to be back together, to see faces and to see you guys smiling. And it's just such an encouragement, and I love it. I love what I do. So just excited to see what God's going to do through this study. And, you might remember that at the beginning of the year, we had a scripture that was given to us, and it was Nahum chapter 2, verse 1. Nahum chapter 2, verse 1. And it starts out with the scatterer has come among you. The scatterer has come among you. And if you haven't heard this verse before, how many of you don't know anything that I'm talking about here? You haven't heard me talk about. Okay, so Nahum, it's not Micah. Nahum is the one that we're looking for. Nahum chapter 2, verse 1 says, he who scatters has come up before your face. Who knew that in March we would all be separated? Who knew that it would still be a situation where we're supposed to be 6 feet away from each other, scattered, kept away from each other? And so it says, man the fort, watch the road, strengthen your flanks, and fortify your power mightily. What do you think? Has it been a year for that? I don't know. I'm kind of thinking so. So I know that scripture was for us this year, and it is exactly what we needed to hear and what we needed to have throughout this year. And I've learned a few things as I've gone through this year since March, and all of the every day is new. It's never been more true than it is today. Everything changes all the time. You just get your heart set on, no, we're not going to do that. Okay, well, we'll go over, no, they're closed. Oh, okay, well, yeah. So everything's new all the time, and we're always got things on, we're always on edge, but that verse has proven to be true for 2020. Our vision is clearer than it's ever been. We are walking closer to the Lord. We're depending more and more on Him. We're trusting Him with every area of our life. Have you found that you are doing more of that since March? I have found that I am doing more of that since March. I am trusting Him more and more than I ever have before. And I am depending on Him more. And I am just walking a closer walk with Him. I can't tell you how important it is, ladies, that you have a close, intimate walk with Jesus Christ. You're going to need it more than you ever realized. So anyway, I'm excited to see what God's going to be doing throughout this study of 1 and 2 Timothy. Even though this letter has been written to the leaders of the church, it is proof that the Word of God, this very written Word of God, is for every child of God. Every word in here is for every one of us. It is true for every one of us. And so we can learn a lot from 1 and 2 Timothy. We're all leading someone. Even when we don't realize it, we're all leading someone. God is at work in us, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. God is at work in us, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And by the way, I got to tell you how impressed I am with the ladies who come in the nighttime. You guys, you're amazing. After a long day of whatever you've been doing and your work, even if you're working from home, I commend you guys. This is just, bless you. So we're all leading someone, even when we don't know it. God is at work in us, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Now, 1 and 2 Timothy are some of the most personal and practical letters. They are called epistles. Epistles are just a fancy word for letters. And so these are the letters that Paul wrote to he didn't write them to 1 and 2 Timothy. He actually wrote them to Timothy twice. So anyway, Paul would write to Timothy with a purpose of instructing and encouraging. Instructing and encouraging. Every time we read the Word of God, it's going to do two things. It's going to encourage us, and it's going to instruct us. Every single time, it's going to do those two things in our lives. And and he was instructing and encouraging him in a particular thing, in the good news of Jesus Christ, in the gospel. Instructing and encouraging in the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what gospel means, good news. Is anybody familiar with the old book called Good News for Modern Man? Back in the Jesus movement, we had that Good News for Modern Man. I said that to someone how old is she? I think she's in her 40s. And she went, no, I'm not familiar. But anyway, her age has nothing to do with it. She's been a Christian less time than I have, that's all. That's all it was. So moving right along. So it's what the gospel means, good news for modern man. What is good news for modern man? Was good news for the old man, the olden days man. It is good for the modern day man. What is that good news? It is the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We could all use a bit of good news right now, couldn't we? One of those things that's good news is that the two police officers that were shot are stable and are healing, but please keep them in your prayers because they are going to need a lot of reconstruction. And so please keep praying for them and pray for all of our officers, all of them, and keep them in your prayers and, remember them. So anyway, but the good news... Here's the real good news. That's good news. Here's some other good news, that we have eternal life. We have eternal life. The good news is that we might have eternal life. We can have our sins forgiven. We have our sins forgiven. That is good news. I don't know if anybody else is excited about that. I am excited about having my sins forgiven because God is the one who's done it. He's the one who's done it. You like that? Yeah. I'm telling you, for anybody that's new, this is me. I'm just saying. This is who I am. I'm unpolished in almost every way. And so this what you see is what you get. But I love Jesus with all my heart. And I want to share him with everybody else. So we can be set free from those things that have bound us throughout the years. We can be set free. And when I realize what God has done in my life, I can't help but share it with the people around me. I can't help but share the good news that Jesus Christ can forgive you of your sins. He forgave me of mine. He can forgive you of yours. I can't help but share that. And I need to be able to share that, even if I have my mask on. When I go in the grocery store, some of you know that whenever I go in the grocery store, I'm always saying, "So how's your day?" Do that with your mask on. Have a smile on your face behind your mask and ask them, "How's your day?" And then wait to find out how their day was. Don't say, "How's your day? And so what was the price on that?" So how was your day? And then they'll be shocked if you wait to hear how their day really was. Wouldn't you be shocked? Most of the time we are, aren't we? When somebody says, "So how you doing?" Oh, okay. Because the subject has already changed already, because it's just a phrase that we use. And people know when you care. And God cares how those people are, and he's using you to let them know that. So these letters were written with a purpose to encourage and to instruct young Timothy. He was to be instructed and encouraged. These letters are called pastoral epistles because they focus significantly on the character and on the responsibility of those who led in the church. And we are all leading somebody in the church, aren't we? We may not be a pastor, we may not be a teacher, we may not be someone that is in charge of anything, but whenever we're together, we are leading someone else when we don't realize it. We are showing them some things of what a Christian is. And so that character in the church, even though they were written to church leaders, these letters apply to all Christians. They include some of the most detailed biblical teaching and on a number of topics. And I have five here that we will go through fairly quickly. And I don't know why we always say, "I'll go through these quickly." You know, I've heard other pastors say that too. But we'll go through this quickly, and we never do. Number one, the difference between true and false teaching. The pastors have been sharing with us on Sunday morning in 1 and 2 Peter about the importance of true and false teaching and knowing the difference of that. It's necessary, ladies, that we know the difference between true and false teaching. Know why you believe what you believe. If you look in the front of your book, you will find that that is part of our vision for women's ministry, is that women would know why they believe what they believe. Why do I believe that? Do I believe that because somebody told me that, or do I believe that because I know that that's the truth? So, the difference between true and false teaching. Number two, a topic of the power of the gospel to save sinners. Yes, I said it, sinners. I called us sinners. That is so politically incorrect, but that's what we are. I am a sinner saved by grace, and it is the power to save sinners. Chapter 1, verse 15, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world, this was his purpose, to save sinners. That was his purpose for coming. Number 3, the goodness of God's creation. In chapter 4, verse 4, it says, "For every creature of God is good." Every creature of God is good. Do you agree? There's some things I would not like to spend time with. There are some things that I would not like to spend time with. But God said those are good. He created them, and they are good. They are with purpose. Everything is with purpose. Number 4, the dangers of pride and the love of money. The love of money. It's not the money. It's the love of money. It's not when money has, you have the money, but it's when the money has you. In chapter 6, verse 7, "For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can take nothing out. Naked I came into this world, and naked I'm going out. I can't take anything with me." You've probably heard the story, probably numerous times, of the man who died, and he told his children to bury his money with them. And so three of the four put their money in, and then they all talked about it. And so all four of them put something in there. And they were all talking about it afterwards, and they said, yeah, I did. I put the cash in there, and I put the cash in there. Yeah, I put the cash in there. And the fourth and youngest one said, well, I wrote him a check. Or today, it's like I sent it on Zilly, or what are those things, you know, something that he would never get. So number five, the divine quality and effectiveness of the scriptures. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God, the woman of God, may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. We are thoroughly equipped for every good work. And above all, Paul stresses that the gospel of Jesus Christ saves and transforms sinners. And this gospel is to be protected, and it is to be passed on. Protected and passed on. In China right now, they are protecting the gospel. Yes, there are churches in China. Well, yes, there are churches in China that people can go to, that you have to register to go to, and they can say certain things. And there are reformation camps. Is that the correct word? Where they change your mind? They want to change your mind? Re-education. They are re-educating people that are Christians. We need to protect the gospel. Protect the gospel and share the gospel. It is important that we do that. And we protect it and we pass it on to others through intentional discipleship. It means that I am looking at someone and on purpose, I am discipling them. On purpose, I'm sharing Christ with them. I'm working at helping them grow. I'm helping them to understand. That is intentional discipleship. And moving in that place, chapter 6, verse 20, guard what has been committed to your trust in that intentional discipleship, doing something on purpose. 1 Timothy stresses. I love my job. 1 Timothy stresses the need to confront false teaching. Stresses the need to confront false teaching. Don't just let it pass by. And to encourage a positive vision to doctrine, an encouraging positive vision. Oh, we got to do that. Why do we have to follow those rules? Well, is that a positive way to teach somebody? Oh, I really don't like to have to do this, but here, let me share with you what we have to do. No, the positive vision for doctrine, for order, and for our conduct in the family of God. Our conduct in the church. How do we conduct ourselves? Timothy is to guard the gospel, and also he is to set an example for other believers. We are to set an example for other believers. It is our job here to set an example for other believers, and we are to set that example. He was to set that example in his speech, in his speaking, the way that he talked, the attitude of his voice, the inflections of his voice. You know the things that we can say without saying words that are, you know, it's not an offensive word, but what you just said was offensive by the way that you said it. You know what I'm talking about? And so in our speaking and in our conduct, how do we conduct ourselves? How do we walk through this life? How do we put this put one foot in front of the other, and how do we live through things? We are to be an example in our love for one another, in our love for one another, and in our faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things that are not seen. We are to grow in that, and we are to be an example of that. And in Timothy's, his name is not Peter, his name is Timothy. In Timothy's life, he was also to be an example of purity. Ladies, we are to be an example in purity. And we know what we're talking about there, don't we? We all know it. We all know. And, well, you guys probably don't know. You're so pure. But be an example in purity. 2 Timothy is really Paul's farewell discourse to his beloved child in the faith. So when we get into 2 Timothy, that's what that will one will be about. Although Paul is in chains for Christ, he rejoices that God's word is not bound. God's word is not bound. And he eagerly, I love this. I hope you get excited as I am. He eagerly anticipates the final salvation and glory. What does that mean? He was excited about death here. He was excited. He had eagerly anticipates final salvation and glory. I've told you before about my friend Lorraine Sonnenberg in her late 90s, and when she was told that she only had a few days left, she's walking around the house going, I'm so excited. Did I tell you I get to go with Jesus any day now? They told me it's any day now. And she was eagerly anticipating the final salvation. Now, if I told that to some people, they would say, let's lock you up because you're all excited about dying. No, it's not that. I'm eagerly anticipating that final salvation to see him face to face, to be able to see him face to face, and to see his glory. It's exciting to me anyway. 2 Timothy is really Paul. Okay, we talked about that. And so Paul charges Timothy to preach the word, endure suffering. We all preach the word. We all talk about the word to everybody that we're around. We do it sometimes unconsciously because we have invested that time in the Lord. We have invested that time in the word of God, and we find ourselves sharing the word of God with people when we don't even realize it. It's just so natural to us to speak in those ways. And then to endure suffering. How important it is for us to suffer well. To suffer well so that God gets the glory. Suffer well and to entrust the gospel message to faithful men who will teach others. Men and women who won't just keep it to themselves, but will share it with others. So how does this all fit in the big picture? Now don't panic when I say the first thing, in the beginning God created. We're not going to go through the whole Bible, but in the beginning, in Genesis, God created and he looked at everything and he said, it is good. And then what happened? Sin came along. And sin brought chaos. It brought devastation. It brought death for God's world, for God's people. And then, so in the Old Testament, don't separate the Old Testament from the New Testament. The Old Testament is the shadow of what will take place in the New Testament. So in the Old Testament is a portrait of God's patience with his rebellious children. Anybody know a rebellious child? Was anybody a rebellious child? You notice my hand is raised. That rebellious child in us that we want to have things our own way. But God's patience with his rebellious children, and his promises to rescue sinners and to restore them. That's the Old Testament. That's what the Old Testament is about. What's the Old Testament about? That's what it's about. And then we go Old Testament into the New Testament and announces that God has fulfilled those promises that he made in the Old Testament. and demonstrated his goodness and loving kindness by sending Jesus Christ, our Savior, to save us from our sins. We move on from the Old Testament to the New Testament to the Gospels, and the Gospels explain to us the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's all there in the Gospels. Old Testament, New Testament, Gospels, and then we have to know about the Acts of the Apostles. What happened with those things when they all became new creations? In the Acts of the Apostles, it's what they did through the power of the Holy Spirit. So you have the Old Testament, New Testament, the Gospels, the Acts, and then you have the letters. And in these letters, they provide instructions for believers living between, get this, I am so excited about, this is another thing to be excited about, those who are living between Jesus' first and second coming. That's us. We are living between Jesus' first and second coming. And Jesus is coming back. He's coming back for his church. He said, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Jesus Christ is coming again, just as he promised. And we are living in a time between his first coming and his second coming. We are right in the middle. No, I don't think we're right in the middle. I think we're a little more toward his second coming. Jesus is coming for, and does that in you? Sometimes you go, oh yes, I want Jesus to come, but I'd really like to do this first. Really like to do that first. Ladies who say, oh, well, I'd really like to have a baby first. They don't realize how painful that is. No, I get it. But you think about the people who don't know Jesus yet. What if Jesus came and they didn't know him? And so that's why we're sharing the gospel. That's why we do that. These letters to Timothy beautifully summarize the gospel message that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. So in a nutshell, Paul's letters encourage and instruct followers in difficult situations in ministry. Has anybody had a difficult situation since March? Maybe one little thing came up. I don't know, that was a little difficult, but I made it. It was okay. To get us through those difficult situations, we have a few difficult situations of our own. And so Timothy was to confront false teaching, promote order and godly conduct in the church. Some say that 1 Timothy was written in the mid-50s, at Paul's journey to Macedonia. In 1 Timothy 1:3, we see that, and couple that with Acts 20:1, where Paul travels to Macedonia after the riot in Ephesus. You remember the riot in Ephesus in Acts? What went on at the riot at Ephesus? Do you remember at one point during the riot, they're going, oh yeah, we're dead, and they're rioting, and they're carrying on, and you go, oh, wait a minute, what are we rioting about? Could you let me know what we're rioting about? What is this all about? I don't know. I've seen a few riots like that lately. Haven't you? People who have just jumped in because they're deceived. They've jumped into something that they know nothing about. And they find themselves in a deceived situation. And they're all of a sudden they go, well, wait a minute. What am I rioting about? And so, anyway, that was how to confront that those difficult situations. So that was what was happening at the riots in Ephesus. Others date these letters in the mid-60s, following Paul's first imprisonment in Rome in Acts 28:16. So Paul wrote 2 Timothy near the end of his life during his second imprisonment in Rome in the mid-60s. And Paul had fought the good fight, and he kept the faith, 2 Timothy 4:7, and he charged Timothy not to be ashamed of the gospel. Are you ever ashamed of the gospel? I have been ashamed of the gospel. And I say it like, I'm so ashamed of the gospel. No, it was in those times when I was so concerned about what that person would think of me if I shared the gospel with them. I came across, and in my heart, I was ashamed of the gospel because I was afraid of how I would be treated. He says, don't be ashamed of the gospel, but to follow Paul's example of faithful ministry in suffering. Faithful ministry in suffering, 2 Timothy 1:8. And so Paul also asked Timothy to visit him soon in prison at the end of 2 Timothy. So our outline, quickly for our outline. Again, I say the word quickly. Number one, doctrine makes a difference. That's chapter 1 of 1 Timothy. Chapter 2 and 3, gospel-shaped living and leadership in God's family. Chapters 4 and 5, instructions for the church and its leaders. And chapter 6, the contrast between true and false teaching. That's as far as we go through the outline in 1 Timothy. So I have three questions that you'll want to write down, and perhaps you can discuss these in your small groups as you meet today. Number one, do you have a sense of the specific emphasis in Paul's letters to Timothy? Do you have a sense of the specific emphasis in Paul's letters to Timothy? Number two, without looking at your Bible, are there any particular passages that come to mind? Without looking at your Bible, are there any particular passages that come to mind? And number three, do you think these letters will be meaningful to your own walk with the Lord in any specific way? Do you think these letters will be meaningful to your own walk with the Lord in any specific way? So our verse for this Bible study is found in 2 Timothy 1:12. I know whom I have believed, and know that he is able to keep what I have committed to him until that day. I know him. I don't just know about him. I know whom I have believed. I know him. It's not like in Elf when Santa comes on and Elf says, oh, I know him. I know him. No, it's not like that. It is, I know him. I have an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. An intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. I know him. You know him, or it's not enough to just know about Jesus. We have to have that intimate relationship with him. And how do I do that? How do I have that relationship with the living God? I surrender all. I surrender all. All to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. That's an old song, but it is as true today as it has ever been. If I want to have an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ, I have to surrender all. All to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely give. Give it all, give it all, give it all to Jesus. He's got this. God's got this, and he's going to take you through whatever you're in the midst of right now, whatever you're thinking about right now. Do I give him that? Yes. If you have to ask yourself, do I give this to God? The answer is yes. There's no hesitation. I know the answer already. You can ponder it if you want to, but I'll tell you right from the top, the answer is yes. Give it all to Jesus. He's got this. And so, Father, I thank you, Lord, for your word. I thank you, Father, for your presence. I thank you, Father, for your anointing. I thank you, God, that you are amongst us. Lord, we continue to pray for these our officers that are in the hospital, Lord. We continue to pray, Lord, that you would have your hand on them, that there would be miraculous healing for them, Lord, miraculous healing, and that they would know that they are being prayed for, Lord, and that they would recover miraculously. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for our officers and the way that they care for us and the way that they take care of us and watch over us and run into really tough places, Lord, that we can't even imagine the things that they've gone through. Lord, I pray you're covering over them right now in the name of Jesus. Father, we pray for the victims of the fires up in the north and in California as well. Lord God, we pray, Father, that you would bring some rain, that you would put out these fires, Lord. We pray for those who have lost homes, and we pray for their provision. We pray, God, that you would speak into their lives and that you would cause others who are believers, Lord, to enter into their lives and to provide for them in any way they possibly can. And we pray for our country, Lord. You said, if my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and pray and seek your face and turn from our wicked ways, then you would hear from heaven and you would heal our land. And so, Lord, we humble ourselves and pray. We seek your face. We turn from our wicked ways. And we want to see our land healed, Lord. Give us wisdom as we walk in these days. And we thank you, Lord, for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this Heart to Heart Women's Bible Study recorded at Refuge Calvary Chapel in Huntington Beach. We hope you've been encouraged by today's lesson and will join us again as we continue to study through the Word of God. For more information about the Heart to Heart Women's Ministry, please visit our website at www.refugefamily.com or call our office at 714-891-9495.
Giving up, letting go.